This is a Fox News alert, a school shooting in South Florida. I'm Lisa Brady. Multiple victims at a high school in Parkland that is southwest of Boca, and sheriff's officials say a person of interest is now in custody. Fox's Eben Brown is following this live from Miami.
And Lisa, we're seeing it right now. A young man, a young male with light-colored hair, with his hands cuffed behind his back, brought into a squad car right near the location of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida. This is in Broward County. It's very west of Fort Lauderdale, very close to Coral Springs. The words we have been hearing with regard to deaths have varied. The Miami Herald is quoting a local fire chief saying one person is dead. Florida Senator Bill Nelson, who is not at the scene, is telling people he has heard that there are many deaths. We do know at least 20 people may have been transported by ambulance away from the school to hospitals. The school is quite large, with some 3,200 students. Even though a suspect may be in custody, the situation is not over. SWAT teams are still inside the building doing their investigation work, and it looks like this will continue for some time, Lisa.
Thanks, Eben. With so many students in that building, they've been evacuating them in groups, some at a time. This student, evacuated just a short time ago, says he used to attend an alternative high school with the shooter.
He's been a troubled kid, and he always had like a certain amount of, you know, issues going on.
But again, the name of the suspect has not been made public, and police have not publicly verified that kind of witness information. But for now, a person of interest is in custody. President Trump tweeting after speaking with the Florida governor, sending prayers and condolences to the families of the victims, calling it the terrible Florida shooting. He says no child, teacher, or anyone should ever feel safe in an American school. Fair and balanced.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has exclusive offers this week just for pro customers. For 3 days only, get 5% off all purchases made in-store and online at lowesforpros.com. Or if you use your Lowe's business credit account, save 10%. That's 5% off all purchases and an extra 5% if you use your Lowe's business credit account. See the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for more details. Offers valid 213 through 215, subject to credit approval and can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply, U.S. only.
I have two categories of clothes, cute and what were you thinking?
Add more cute to your closet and everywhere else in your home with surprising finds from Gordmans. Yeah, Gordmans. We've restocked our entire store with on-trend styles and designer finds at every turn. Load up on super cute shoes and handbags and must-have home decor, all at unbelievably low prices. So get shopping. Gordmans, bigger deals, smaller price tags.
Earlier today, during an Oval Office meeting, President Trump responding to shouted questions about the allegations against former staffer Rob Porter and telling reporters he's totally opposed to domestic violence of any kind.
Everyone knows that, and it almost wouldn't even have to be said.
He has faced criticism for praising Porter's work while not mentioning the women who accuse him of abuse. Porter denies the charges. Background check procedures are now under scrutiny because the FBI knew of allegations against Porter over a year ago as part of his security clearance review. A former presidential hopeful is expected to announce a new run for office tomorrow.
Will Mitt Romney run for a Utah Senate seat? Well, on his Facebook page, he wrote, "Stay tuned for my announcement on the race this Thursday." He then tells people to go to his website to be the first to know. The businessman and former Massachusetts governor lost the presidential election in 2012 and laid low until then candidate Trump was on the campaign trail. 4 years later, he gave a brutal speech against Trump before Trump won the primary.
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University.
If Romney runs, he'll be going after outgoing Senator Orrin Hatch's seat. Last month, President Trump asked Hatch to stay on and run for an eighth term, but Hatch declined. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Just recapping now the latest information on what may have been a deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida, at a high school there. Police are still working to clear the building, but a person of interest is now in custody. Florida Senator Bill Nelson telling people at the Capitol in Washington that he has heard there are many deaths. One local fire chief had reported one death to the Miami Herald newspaper. Police had initially reported 20 to 50 injured. So we're still waiting for confirmation on the numbers. Wall Street, in the meantime, has rallied. The Dow up 252 at the closing bell. Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
The 19th annual Dixie Power Kite Festival is Saturday, April 21st. If your business would like to take advantage of exposure to nearly 25,000 attendees as a sponsor or vendor, go to their website, DixiePowerKiteFestival.com.
Did you ever think that the latter half of your life would require this much ibuprofen? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Valentine's Day, the tradition is we give each other those big red hearts filled with the gamble chocolate. Have you ever eaten any chocolate out of those big red hearts with any confidence? Well, this could either be really good or totally nasty. And I'm just pig enough to find out. I got the one filled with toothpaste. I'm going to have to eat another 9 to get rid of that flavor. There's the big red hearts filled with the gamble chocolate, or the tiny chalk heart-shaped antacids. I know I make nauseous. Here's a Tums with Hug Me written on it. Maybe that'll help.
I love Jim Gaffigan. Well, happy Valentine's Day to you. Hopefully you're having a great day. And even you singles out there, Single Awareness Day, I guess, is what they call it on the flip side. It's not all about, roses and chocolate. Sometimes it's about just sitting home in your sweats and watching Netflix. What can we say? Anyway, welcome to the show. A lot to talk about, of course, and I'll try and mesh that in with a little Valentine's Day as well. I'm not a huge lover of the Valentine's Day holiday. I don't know if you are, but I've just never been into it. And I guess for me, it's just kind of, I maybe kind of like a forced thing. So it's very libertarian of me, isn't it? I'm not necessarily a libertarian. Anyway, I don't know what it is about it, but I like it. And I think kids have a lot of fun. And I want to bring something up with that as well, because, it's a big holiday in the schools, right? It's a huge day. A lot of girls are getting that first crush Valentine's card from somebody. So cute. And there's so much. Well, there's a lot I want to talk about. So before I hit that, want to mention tonight, Sweetheart Ball. I think it's at 7 o'clock tonight, and big band kind of stuff. If that strikes your fancy, you might want to check that out. I think it's at the Children's Museum, and just all kinds of stuff. So Romney announces he's running today. I don't know about you, but I'm in total shock. Didn't see that coming. Anyway, the buildup. Do you ever just want to just say, don't do that to us? You don't need to. Just run or don't run. But a whole year's worth of leading up to the moment that we knew was going to happen. How does the buildup feel to you? I mean, it just almost feels like so. I mean, I guess I would actually like the shock factor better. Like all of a sudden somebody's going to run for office and they just announce it on that day instead of this buildup. I don't know if I'm going to, but I certainly am going to say I live in Utah, and I'm certainly going to put it out there a gazillion times and lots of great press, and Hatch is going to talk about me. I don't know. I think it really bothered me this time that he just did this whole buildup. I feel a little played. I don't know. Anyway, well, good for him. And I don't know if you're voting for him or not, or you feel like he would fit the bill or not. But anyway, I've already declared my feelings on it. My feelings have certainly changed in that arena. I just can't stomach establishment anymore. So I don't know if Utah will. Who knows? Will Utah go for that? Where he hasn't lived here, he hasn't been part of it. Well, Hatch didn't live here for how long? So I don't know if that's going to be a big deal, but I always wonder kind of the pulse of Utah. What do you think most Utahns would be okay with? Do you think they're going to be for Romney? Or do you think that they're looking for something different? Like a Larry Myers, who would be fantastic, by the way, from down here. So what do you think? I'm actually curious. Do you think most Utahns will vote him in? 888-673-1450. I don't know. Olympics, good old Sean and snowboarding, that was a sweet moment. I know that there's a lot of people that are having a hard time with him dragging the flag around while he was just in that moment of euphoria after winning the gold. And I kind of think, back off. I mean, I think, you know, in that moment, let him have that moment and just let it happen. And if that's what happened, that's what happened. All of us could have something like that happen. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're trying to trash on something. It just means that that's what happened in the moment. But man, talk about Twitter and social media went crazy over that. I get it, but at the same time, I think you can give somebody a moment, not scrutinize it to death. Also, there is a bill that is talking about 17-year-olds voting. 17-year-olds. This bill, by the way, would allow 17-year-olds to vote. And this bill comes to us by, it's HB 281. And this is, the bill's sponsor is, of course, Democrat Salt Lake City Joel Briscoe. Man, I think the Democrats are getting a little desperate for votes. Tell you the truth. Doesn't it feel like that? I mean, they'll do everything they can do to ignore Americans and veterans and everybody else and go for the illegal vote, or they're trying to lower the vote age. I mean, it's just kind of funny, and I'm going to go with kind of desperate. Anyway, HB 281 would allow 17-year-olds to participate in primary elections as long as they will turn 18 or before the November general election. He just says more high schoolers want to get involved. What do you think? I think there's concerns. I mean, 17, do you really know what's going on other than what Instagram has fed you as the national dialogue and a lot of liberal school teachers? So I'm not quite sure I want 17-year-olds voting. Anyway, so that's the deal. That's on the books. And the history behind that, the 26th Amendment, by the way, prohibits the states and federal government from using age as a reason to deny the right to vote to citizens of the United States who are at least 18 years old. And so, of course, that was set right there. The drive to lower the voting age from 21 to 18 kind of grew across the country in the 1960s. And then it was driven in large by part of a broader student activism right after the Vietnam War. And so during the Vietnam War. And so the impetus for drafting an amendment to lower the voting age, it sort of arose following the Supreme Court's decision in Oregon versus Mitchell, which held that Congress may establish a voting age for federal elections, but not for local or state elections. And so in 71, a proposal to lower the voting age to 18 was adopted by both houses of Congress and then sent to the states for ratification. And the amendment became part of the Constitution in 1971. So there's your quick history bite on voting, but I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know how you feel about 17-year-olds voting. There's some sharp 17-year-olds out there, but I think for the most part, maybe a little life experience before you vote. To me, this just kind of declares some desperation. Do I dare say it? Desperation? Anyway, it's what it seems like to me. Seems like they need a large voting base, and they're not getting that support they desperately want. Also, this was kind of odd, and I wanted to just bring this up for a second, but I just thought it was kind of weird. But the there is a how do I say it? This a lawmaker who wants to bring back the black Utah license plates for the Utah State Historical Society. Now, I'm envisioning a lawmaker sitting around going, oh, I know I could do something. What could I do? What bill could I possibly pass? I got to get my name on some more stuff. Let's think. Well, I don't know. I was driving in traffic the other day and I noticed the license plates. So here you go. He wants to bring back Lincoln Fillmore of South Jordan, Republican. He wants to bring back a special license plate commemorating the State Utah Historical Society. The plates would be black with raised white letters. Weren't they? I remember the California license plates, you know, were they all black across the country? I don't know. That was kind of when I was younger, so I'm not quite sure. But the old California license license plate was black too, and you had maybe that's when they went into state specific license plates. I'm not sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong. 888-673-1450. But just off the cuff, I was just thinking about this, and it's why. I'll tell you something. If you want to make a donation to the Historical Society, go do it. I mean, I think this is just so funny. It's another bill, and it's going back to the retro black license plate. Does anyone care ever? Do we really care about our license plates? This guy went to a lot of effort to put this bill together, and so the committee recommended the bill unanimously to the full Senate for debate. I don't know. It's like a toss-up, renaming a post office, license plates. It's just so funny to me, I guess. I don't know why you would spend an ounce of time on this, but of course, he felt like it needed to be done. So there you go. He wanted to make sure that they could try and find reflective black paint. And if that can't be obtained, then the black license plates would be exempt from the usual reflecting paint requirements. And Lord knows there's going to be five more bills that have to come through. People will have to spend time on those to make sure that this bill, you know, with all the problems that this bill might bring, like the reflective paint, we've got to have even more stuff out there to deal with. So I just, one bill begats another. And another. It's funny how that happens. But I looked at this and I just thought, some guy sitting in his office, well, Lincoln Fillmore, I gotta come up with something. Please, this kind of garbage is just killing us. We don't have bigger fish to fry than this. If you want to go repeal a bill, go for it. But this is just kind of dumb, to tell you the truth. Just kind of dumb. By the way, Mike Noel is bringing a lawsuit. Utah is moving to sue California over the fee on coal power. And so Utah lawmakers gave an initial approval Monday to a proposal that would set aside $2 million to sue California over rules that make coal-fired power more expensive. I don't know how you feel about that. You can weigh in. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned those black license plates.
Yeah.
I just saw, like, yesterday or day before, a California car.
Really? With one?
It was like a new bright yellow Mustang with the black license plate from California.
If you're driving now, and you're in that car, you're certainly welcome to call up. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know where they were driving?
Where's up?
Left lane down the freeway, all the way.
Wow. Of course.
But I'll bet you anything they probably had a hard time finding black people without any lead in it. That's probably the thing.
There you go. That's true. It does bring up a whole nother concern.
But you know, you're wondering what they could think of.
Yeah.
That is actually, you know, with those guys up there smoking dope this 45 days. That one I'd welcome them spending some time on, because some of these things, you know.
Yeah, it's
and
a little
and
much.
They're not the Democrats smoking the dope either.
Okay. You know, well, so, thanks. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Okay.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, back to the proposal. So Utah lawmakers gave initial approval to set aside $2 million to sue. $2 million. And that's just the beginning, you realize. That's never the final amount. Is that what we spend our money on? I'm not quite sure. If you have a beef with that, you can, you know, I mean, as far as like you really want this lawsuit to go through, of course you can call up, but, you know, of course there's this California's war on Utah coal. I get it. California utilities pay an extra $15 per megawatt power to buy, hour to buy power from Utah's coal-fired Intermountain Power Plant. Is it worthy of spending that kind of money to sue? You tell me. Not quite sure. You can weigh in on this. A couple other things, too. And then kind of an argument on social media is kind of interesting. Involves a Utah school. We'll be right back. Right back. Kate Daly Show. I'll be right back.
What does it take to be the best in the world? First, you have to relentlessly improve. Like how the fully redesigned 2018 Toyota Camry comes with an all-new 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine and improved V6. You have to lean into your strengths. For the versatile RAV4, that means extra cargo space and seat flexibility. You have to embrace new methods and technologies, like the 2018 Tacoma's available multi-terrain select. To be the best, you have to learn from the best. Get 0.9% APR financing for 60 months on a new 2018 Corolla with $17.05 per 1,000 borrowed, or get $1,000 cash back. Visit your local Toyota dealer or find out more at toyota.com. Toyota, proud partner of Team USA. Toyota, let's go places.
APR and approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. Cashback savings from TMS USA Inc. Does not include college grad or military rebate. Offers may vary by region. See participating dealer for details. Offers end February 28th.
Visit Stephen Way Toyota in St. George, or for more information, please log on to toyota.com. Toyota.
At Smiles Restored, they love making people smile. It's the reason they do what they do. But don't just take their word for it. Their patients say it best.
Smiles Restored had amazing prices. Nobody else even came close. I love my new smile.
I flew in from out of state based on the recommendation of a friend. It was worth it. I'm literally saving thousands of dollars on an implant with Smiles Restored.
And those are just a few of over 100 Google reviews for Smiles Restored. They know how important your smile is. Their team of highly trained dentists, Dr. Hansen, Dr. Staples, and Dr. Curtis, are committed to not just improving your smile, but making it affordable too. With years of experience and a skilled staff, their number one focus is running a highly efficient dental office. That allows them to pass the savings on to you and yet confidently maintain the highest quality service. For great dental work at a price you'll love, call Smiles Restored in St. George and Cedar City for a free consultation today. 688-2772. 688-2772. Or online at smilesrestoredofutah.com.
Calvin Coolidge slept for 11 hours every night. Lyndon Johnson took naps after every lunch. And Teddy Roosevelt snoring could raise the dead. Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. So why am I talking about presidents and sleep? Just my way of reminding you of our biggest sale of the year, the President's Day sale, going on now. Save up to $900 and sleep like a king. I mean, like a president. Best Mattress, home of the 120-day guarantee. Sleep easy, friends.
This is Kate Daly, and I love my sponsors. The Sweet Tooth Fairy is ready to cater your next special event. From baby showers to wedding receptions, birthday parties, or corporate events, no order is too big. The Sweet Tooth Fairy in the Pineview Plaza, or online at sweettoothfairy.com. And Home Flooring Connection. Not only does Home Flooring Connection provide the best flooring around, now they offer window coverings. Check them out today on Bluff Street across from Fabulous Freddy's.
Ladies, this Valentine's, there's a chance he will find a quiet moment, wait until he has your full attention, look you in the eyes, and hand you a small, beautiful bronze box that says, Mack and Sons. But as you gently pull the ribbon and discover the treasure that awaits, you realize whatever sits inside is really just a reflection of how much he adores you. Men that buy jewelry from the master jewelers at Mack & Sons are not just buying diamonds, gold, or just any jewelry. The man that placed that box in front of you knows you are more precious than any diamond and worth more than gold. Men that come to Mack & Sons are passionate about finding quiet moments to remind you of their love. They could grab roses, chocolates, or chase deals at the mall, but when they see the beautiful bronze box with Mack & Sons on it, you'll know they aren't like everyone else. And neither is your love. Because of where he went when he wanted Valentine's to be perfect. Mack & Sons Master Jewelers. On the Boulevard at Bluff.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Longer than there have been fishes in the ocean. Higher than any bird ever longer than there have been stars up in the heavens. I've been in love with you.
Yes, I'm playing gaggy Valentine's Day songs today. Songs that would make me like to throw up. Thanks. Do you remember this one? Longer than? Oh, ugh. It's like sitting through a root canal. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Happy Valentine's Day to you. And I wish you love, hearts, and chocolates. And also, shooting in Florida. I should probably mention this because it that hit the news about, an hour ago. 45 minutes ago. But they're saying many deaths. They're not saying how many, but a school shooting nonetheless. I think it was near Tallahassee. So we'll keep our eye on that story. Wow. Sad. So I wanted to mention a couple of things. Well, he brought up, the caller brought up marijuana, so we could probably mention this. The Utah House of Representatives passed a resurrected bill that would make the state grow medical marijuana for terminally ill patients. House Bill 197, sponsored by Representative Brad Daw of Orem. It died on a narrow vote last week, but was resurrected on Tuesday, and he insisted the legislation was a necessary companion to House Bill 195, which gives terminally ill patients a right to try medical marijuana. This bill becomes the way to supply a genuine cannabis medicine for both those programs. We need to pass this bill, he said, if we want to have patients with the ability to try both under right to try and under research. So the bill requires that the Utah Department of Ag and Food to grow marijuana that would be dispensed to patients under the right to try. And while some lawmakers are flipping their votes this time around, others are still remaining concerned. This just drives me nuts because why are we having the Department of Ag grow it? I don't know. Anyway, it's just more control for the state. Anyway, but Representative Daw's bills are being run ahead of the potential ballot initiative that would expand who can use the medical marijuana in Utah. You know me, I've been all for medical marijuana because there's several different kinds. There's kinds with the high, without the high. There's all kinds. There's oils. There's different versions of this. And I just think that that the fact that we have to go through the House of Representatives and the Senate in Utah to see if that can help you medically just drives me crazy. It just drives me nuts. And it doesn't surprise me that the state wants to control every aspect of that. I wish that that this wasn't so. I wish that if this really helped you medically, by all means, if you're sick, if you're having issues, if you're having a problem, why in the world would anyone stand in your way? But look at all the steps it has to go through. And I don't know, the government control over it. I don't understand why they have to go to that extreme as far as them growing it and them dispensing it. Maybe some of you feel comfortable with that. I don't know. But I don't know. It just seems like a lot of intrusion, and it seems like Mother May I all the way, which is kind of ridiculous. And so there's that. Also, I had brought up in the last section of the show that Utah is moving to sue California over the fee on coal power. Now, they're going to spend at least, to start, $2 million, at least. And so is that worth it? That's Representative Mike Noel. Wants this lawsuit. Is this worth going after? Is this worth spending years in court? I'm not quite sure that it is. But many of you might think that this is what we have to do. I'm not sure. But lawmakers several years ago backed a Utah plan to spend $53 million in public money on an Oakland, California coal shipping terminal, saying that the proposed expansion would allow them to ship coal to Asia. And the Oakland City Council voted to ban coal shipments, leading to a court battle that is awaiting a ruling from a federal judge in California years and years later. Wow. So I'm not quite sure that that this would be a good way to go. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Just about that suit there. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, okay. Go right ahead.
Yeah, about that suit. What kind of case could we possibly have? California mm-hmm. can do whatever they want.
Right.
I assume it's in the federal court. Of mm-hmm. course, there's nothing constitutional for this to be in a federal court. But what kind of a case? California can do whatever they mm-hmm. want. The legislature can make their own decisions. Utah has nothing to say about it.
Right.
If they want to increase the cost of coal energy sources in California, that's their choice. But mm-hmm. the reason I mainly called in was about this fellow that's running for senator in this state. You just mentioned him earlier, mm-hmm. Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to flag here real quickly 12 different positions on this man holds, and ask people, if your listeners, if this is the kind of person you want as your U.S. senator. First of all, he supports the climate change hoax, the global warming. It's, you know, been scientifically well proven there is no man-made global warming. He believes in that, or he claims he does. He was for TARP. He believes that billionaires need to be received this nearly a half a trillion dollars worth of welfare at the expense of all of us taxpayers. He supported gun control for a long time. He supported abortion and reversed himself when it was politically not expedient to continue with that position. He had a huge increase as governor of Massachusetts, a huge increase in the size of the government of Massachusetts. I think it was either 20 or 25%. I can't remember the exact figure. In just the time he was in office, a huge number of fees. He said he lied about it. He said, oh, I've never increased any taxes. But there were, they called them fees, but they were really the same thing. He had created the blueprint for Obamacare. Is this who we want for our senator in the state? The first was the first state who implemented Obamacare type of socialized medicine plan with Massachusetts under Romney. He lied, and then he lies all the time. His father, George Romney, was a part of, you know, former governor of Michigan, was part of the Rockefeller Coalition to stop Goldwater. In fact, he, when Nelson, it was clear he wasn't going to get the nomination in 1964.
Right.
They put Romney up, and at the end it was Romney versus Goldwater, and Romney said all these things about Goldwater. He's crazy, he's nuts, and that was one thing. Mitt Romney loved the UN. Everything the UN does, he supported. He's a globalist, he's a neocon, he supports minimum wage. Just, you can just go on and on, and guess who loves him? Herbert, our governor. He just said, I'm so glad to hear he's running.
Yeah,
I mean, do you need any more than that?
Well,
not support this fellow.
There's a lot of positions that he's taken, or maybe the way that he's acted in the last couple of years that have been a real turnoff for a lot of people too, and they've seen it come out. And so a lot of people that were supportive of him against Obama are way less supportive of him now. And I think Utahns might have an issue with him declaring residency in Utah when everybody knows he hasn't lived here. There's a couple of things I think that are at the surface of this that people look at. And you know, the sad part is that a lot of people aren't going to get below that surface to look at the deeper issues, some of the things that you just mentioned. But yes, I mean, we have, you know, this is going to be an issue. Everybody seems to think that he's a shoo-in in the establishment, and maybe we ought to ask more Utahns, because it's kind of like the Hillary thing. She thought she was going to win. Everyone said it in the media, and then all of a sudden people spoke out. And so you never know. But thank you for your call. I really appreciate the points you made. I don't know. This one's strange, because I think a lot of people want change, yet, you know, you show up and you realize that there are a lot of people out there that just will not look deeper. So they just want kind of surface, and they think, you know, well, Romney's a nice guy, and so put him in office. Or because he's Mormon, you know, I'm Mormon, but I wouldn't vote for him. And so, you know, you have that huge issue right there because people don't want to jump deeper. And I understand that's kind of where we're at. That's the reality of things. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Also, I just kind of wanted to mention, too, as far as the Utah self-defense bill, it passed the House. And, of course, outraged Democrats. That Utahns will be free, if it goes to the Senate, to stand their ground in self-defense situations under a bill, HB 129. It modifies self-defense law to say in no uncertain terms that failure to retreat from an aggressor is not a relevant factor in determining whether the individual who used or threatened force acted reasonably. So the bill's sponsor, Corey Malloy in Lehigh, described the bill as good for all people of Utah. The only objection on the floor during the debate came from Angela Romero, who's a Democrat, who said she did not understand what the bill was changing in the law and could not support it. And said, Sandra Hollins, another Democrat, I am outraged. The bill opens a floodgate of unnecessary escalation in dangerous situations. A perceived threat is, and this is what another, they always use all the Democrat comments. Have you ever noticed that? KSL does. Anyway, a perceived threat is not always a threat. In this country, there is a culture of fear. Okay. The issue with that is, if you fear for your life and you are in the act of self-defense, well, somebody coming into your home. How do we solve this as far as how many situations have arisen where you have to go back and you have to analyze exactly what was in his mind and what he was thinking when he shot a intruder? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. You're in self-defense. And so if somebody is threatening you, then you should have the ability to defend yourself without thinking, now, how will this be perceived, by the prosecution? What would happen in court? I mean, you can't think about all that when you're in that moment. And so I'm okay with this as far as the self-defense bill. I don't see a problem with this. Anyway, they just wanted to leave it to no uncertain terms that if you feel threatened, then you can use force. Anyone disagree with that? I guess I don't see a huge issue. With the pot bill, I shouldn't call it the pot bill, the marijuana bill, let me be classier, the marijuana bill. And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the government controlling that and growing that, profiting off that? Why is it that they have to have their digs into everything? It drives me crazy. I guess that is the libertarian in me. My gosh, reduce government in all things. My gosh, it's a weed. If that helps people, it helps people. Good heavens. They're going to tax it. That'll certainly give them their glory, but my gosh, then they've got to control and then they've got to grow it and then they've got to, now we've got to what? Come up with land and properties to grow this. It just seems like a lot of public money is spent on these kinds of things when really it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It just makes people feel a little better, I guess, in some circles. I'm not quite sure because it might be a scary thing to them. To me, this is not a non-scary issue. We have a lot of other scary issues when it comes to opioid abuse, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit more tomorrow, talk about who's behind that. But man, I just think that we have got to have kind of a self-check in how much government we want to invite into our lives and what we really, really want. Because yesterday I was talking to Uncle Milty and I said, you know, a lot of people are coming up to me, people that you probably wouldn't expect, that are saying, my gosh, the bills are insane. And people said this last year and the year before, by the way, because I remember it well. And during the legislative sessions, and we don't realize how much control government takes. And we don't realize that they always want to say in the vein of keeping us safe, they have to be a part of everything. And that isn't true. We did succeed with less government once upon a day. I know we did. So we have that. We have the defense bill. We've got the license plate bill and the 17-year-olds voting in Utah primary elections. Does Utah want that? I think it screams desperation for votes. But you might think differently. I just think it's ridiculous. And I think it's another bill where they go, gee, how can I make a dent in my career? How can I do something to offer up my name in the press so that people will remember me and know me? And my gosh, please stop. Sit on your hands if you have to. You know what would be great is if we could create a movement where lawmakers didn't do anything but sit behind their desk and took a picture of them saying, I'm not doing anything to inhibit your freedom. I'm just sitting here safeguarding it. Wouldn't that be great if we had a movement where pictures were taken and on social media? That'd be nice. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Beehive Homes Assisted Living is where the heart is.
Hi, I'm Kate Archibald, director
and comfortable living
create. I want to tell you why I love East West Health. About 6 years ago, I was tapped out. I was about 50 pounds overweight. I just did not have the energy that I needed, and I was really frustrated. I reached out to my brother, who happens to be the founder of East West Health. It was life-changing, and what I found is it wasn't magic. It was really getting the education, knowledge, and understanding of what was going on with my health, and what I could do to reverse those things. But I had someone to guide and mentor me through that process, and that was extremely essential for achieving my goals. At East West Health, we do weekly educational events because we want you to get that same education and knowledge and understanding of what's going on with your health. Wednesday evenings, we have an event on natural solutions for weight loss, thyroid, and digestive health. This could be something that will be absolutely life-changing. Call us at 435-773-7790. We'll see you at East West Health next Wednesday.
Beehive Homes Assisted Living is where the heart is. Our attentive staff and comfortable living creates fulfillment for our residents. Where you should live should look like home, smell like home, and feel like home. Beehive Homes is family-style living, yet still in the utmost in privacy. We've gone out of our way to make our homes truly a home away from home. When you want the highest level of care, count on Beehive Homes. Quality senior living. BeehiveCare.com.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday. Workday, play day, every day. Monday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Monday. Save every day at Finley Hyundai.
Take advantage of high-value offers now at Finley Hyundai. Like driving off in a brand new 2018 award-winning Sonata for as little as $19,999 after incentives. This Sonata is loaded with standard features. Get similar savings on Elantra and the entire Hyundai lineup during the month of February. Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance, America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles powertrain limited warranty. Discover high-value offers like brand new 2018 Sonata for $19,999 after incentives. Now at Finley Hyundai on the savings side of the freeway, because we believe in you. Finley Hyundai, stgeorge.com.
On approved credit through HMF, stock numbers HY6985, 6991, and 6989. Other with any other offers does not include dealer installed options. See dealer for details.
Save every day at Finley Hyundai.
This is Kate Daly. My sponsors are the best. Boulevard Mattress, located at Boulevard Home Furnishings. Get an incredible mattress at a low, low price. And St. George Massage, stgeorgemassage.com to schedule today. No messy memberships, just an incredible massage. You deserve it, and it makes a great gift for someone you love. And the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce speaks on your behalf with the combined power and influence of over 700 members. Join today at stgeorgechamber.com. This is Kate Daly. My sponsors are the best. Boulevard Mattress, located at Boulevard Home Furnishings. Get an incredible mattress at a low, low price. And St. George Massage, stgeorgemassage.com to schedule today. No messy memberships, just an incredible massage. You deserve it, and it makes a great gift for someone you love. And the St. George Area Chamber of Commerce speaks on your behalf with the combined power and influence of over 700 members. Join today at stgeorgechamber.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Just kidding. Oh, love songs that make me want to hurl. How are you? Oh, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're tuning in today, of course, and get over to Smiles Restored. They do terrific work. I get emails back from some of you who have said they just absolutely love those guys, that they've helped veterans. They're just amazing folks, and I have to agree. My husband had a lot of dental work there, and it was great. It was fantastic, and he really loved his experience and, of course, the finished product. And so, my gosh, SmilesRestoredOfUtah.com. I can't say enough about them. They're that good. Tell them I sent you. And they've got three doctors on staff that are really fantastic. So, my gosh, don't waste time. Get over there. And they do everything for a fraction of the cost. You can't go wrong.
I got a text, taxation without representation. You know, that should translate to if you aren't paying property taxes, shouldn't be able to vote. Without that, all you get are the masses voting themselves, you know, largesse. So I totally, I get it. Trust me. It's just, you know, you go through all these, there's so many bills. I don't even know how the lawmakers are reading them. I know they have staff reading them, which is really a shame. And there's so many pages of bills. You always think, what can they come up with next? Here we are. And welcome, well, Valentine's, of course, is upon us. I'm not a lover of the Valentine's Day. I don't really celebrate it. I haven't for years. My husband probably cried silent tears of joy when we got married. And I said, I don't do jewelry and I don't do Valentine's Day. Ugh. But hey, if you all love it, fantastic. Good for you. I think it's great. I think it's great that you love it. This was interesting because this became the subject of international press, believe it or not, and this was right here in Utah. But a mother was outraged when her daughter's school introduced a policy that states that students are not allowed to say no when asked to dance at their school dance. This is the sixth grade. So Natalie Richard from Utah was speaking to her sixth grade daughter about this upcoming Valentine's Day dance at her school. And this is Canesville Elementary, by the way, when she was told about this controversial rule. And so her daughter explained that the teachers had told the students aged 11 and 12 that they had to say yes, you have to, when someone asks you to dance. And of course, the mother was in pure disbelief that this was actually happening at the school. And so she thought, no, my kid's just misunderstanding this. So she spoke to the school, and then she realized that the statement was accurate. And she said, you know, the teacher said that she can't. She has to say yes. She has to accept. And I said, excuse me. This was the mother, you know. Shocked by the policy, the mother took her concerns to the school principal, was told that that's just how they organize their dances. So Lane Finley, a community relations specialist in the Weber County School District, confirmed that it is true. This is a fact. And it's added, it was added to mean, or to at least teach the students how to be inclusive, you know, be inclusive by force, because that's fun. Anyway, so she said, you know, be respectful, be polite. We want to promote kindness. So we're going to strong arm you into saying yes to the person that asked you to dance. Sweet. Anyway, Mrs. Richards, the mother, believed that there were other ways to teach children how to be accepting, and she's right, that this method sends the wrong message, and it sends a bad message to girls that they have to say yes, sends a bad message to boys that the girls can't say no. And so I wondered how you guys felt about this. It created quite a firestorm. People were weighing in on this, and of course it hit the independent.com. And so the message that the kids are getting is that, you know, all of the rituals that we all went through, okay, middle school, I don't care who you are in America, you got teased in middle school. I'm going to go with a big yes on that, resounding yes, that you got teased, okay? That you probably had a girl reject you, or girls, that you probably had a boy reject you. Isn't that part of growing up process? Isn't that part of who we are and what we go through, and that you have your highs and lows, your pitfalls, and this is where you grow and learn? And I just can't, this just blows my mind. This just blows my mind that they're actually making the kids. And now for some of you, I'm sure there's got to be a handful of you that say, that are saying to themselves in their cars right now or wherever you're listening, but you know, that poor guy that asked the girl to dance, maybe it's really nice to have this rule in place. That way nobody feels bad. We all know what it was like in middle school. Can't we skirt around that? Can't we create a different situation? No. No, you can't, because that's life. Talk about coddling and meddling and force. To me, I know a bunch of liberals got in a room and said, we just feel really sad for those boys that might smell or might have issues or body odor, or maybe they're just not popular, and maybe they just, you know, they go and they ask a girl to dance and the girl says no. Oh, gosh. How else are people supposed to learn? How? Of course, it's sad, but isn't it necessary? Isn't this part of who we are as our culture and growing and learning as a kid? Oh my gosh! Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Yes.
This is Daniel in FEMA Region 9. Let me mute
FEMA
the radio
Region 9.
Listening to your wonderful voice. I'm so glad to get through.
Yeah,
hey,
sure.
About this thing with the can't say no on the dancing.
Right.
I guess they're going to expand that, so if you have a job interview, they can't turn you down for the job.
You know what? You're right. Hey, that would be the next thing. I guess, you know, nobody can ever
feel sad. I'm 70 years old looking for a job, and I was lucky to even get an interview, but no takers.
Well, with the liberals, you know, high on their notion of saving us from everything bad, you just might get a job then.
Yeah, it could be.
Congratulations.
You know, but I got turned down for dancing in junior high, and you just learned to take it that it didn't mean you were bad. It just, especially when you saw the girl, the guy that the girl said yes to, what a goofus he would be that, hey, I'm better than that guy, so who cares?
You mean it didn't scar you for life?
It didn't scar me. I learned to take rejection, and believe me, that came in handy later in life.
There you go.
Such as I was saying, job interviews. Hey, another question I have is about your thing with Mitt Romney running down there, the carpetbagger of the world.
Well, I hate that term, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it is a despicable term, but I think it applies to him, doesn't it?
Well, I Romney's probably a nice person, but I don't think he should be in politics. And I think that that welcome's been worn out, and I think that we've learned a lot in the last few years, and I think that we need somebody that stands for the Constitution and will say no to things and will stand up. We need a different caliber in political office, if that's what we're going to call it, in those elected official positions. A lot of people are nice people that should never be in charge of your liberty. So he's probably one of them to me now, is that he should not be in charge of liberty, although he's probably a nice guy and a good father. This doesn't mean that it translates into that.
We don't know what kind of people I don't know what Bill Clinton, he might be a kind person, he might tear wings off flies, but we know what their works are.
Yeah.
And by their works is what I'm judging as a person's works. Because like it says in the Bible, you don't get grapes off of a briar.
Well, I thank you. Yeah, I thank you for your call because I
well,
know
one,
there's...
one quick thing, if I may. How are we going to get a choice when we vote for somebody like that? Because the party dictates who we get to vote for.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole nother show. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, I'm calling on this dance thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Have you ever heard of the survival of the fittest?
Yes,
I think
good old
that,
Darwin.
Too many of the marshmallows have survived in the climate that we live in today, and they must be running everything.
I think so.
I remember you're talking about Valentine's Day. I hated Valentine's Day as a kid. I'd get like three Valentine's, six on a good year.
Did it scar you for life?
And when I asked girls out, I loved in high school. I loved dating. And hey, if they said no, that's okay. There were plenty of girls.
That's exactly. Why are we trying to coddle these kids to the point where that no one's honest anymore and everybody has to be forced to be inclusive? That isn't kind and polite. That's if they wanted to have a talk to these students and say, you know, what's really nice is when you just say yes because it's a nice thing to do. But forcing them, making a rule is just so above and beyond. You know what I mean?
Oh, but I think it's worse than that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get in these hot and heated situations in a date.
Right.
And when a girl says no, she means no. But that's not what they're teaching them.
Yeah.
You can't say no.
Yeah. You have to. And that's what that parent was most upset about was, no, they have to say yes. Thank you for your
this
call.
Is
really
dangerous.
Yeah. Really appreciate that. That was great. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
So what are we going to do now with, like, the last kid to get picked for the dodgeball team or kickball and then all this stuff? Holy cow, really?
It doesn't end here because now I know there are schools that are now trying to pass this. You can't have a best friend when you're, like, in kindergarten. You can't. You have to play with everybody. You have to eat lunch with everybody. You're just not allowed to go and just be with your friend. And so... it is ridiculous, and you can tell who's making the rules because it's all by force.
So we need to yank our children out of the public schools while we still can.
Well,
homeschool.
Hate to point out the obvious, but you know, it's certainly ridiculous. Thank you. Really appreciate the phone call. Yeah, it is ridiculous. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Caller, you're on. You're live.
Okay, sorry, you were breaking up.
That's okay.
This is my two cents on it.
Uh-huh.
How are we going to feel about the shaming of the girls that don't get asked? Because you know there's going to be about five girls that everyone's going to line up to ask because there's no fear anymore.
Yep.
What about all the girls that don't? Does that shame them? Does it make them feel
question.
Worse about themselves? Is this an unintended consequence?
Yes.
That's the real question.
You know what? That's a great, great point. And by the way, one comment on this, I'll take you off the air. One comment on this was, why don't we just stick all the boys in the middle, right? And all the girls around the edge and just everybody dance. Doesn't that sound like a blast? Yeah, let's go to a Valentine's dance where everybody's just forced to dance with each other. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, does it? You know, I'm all for having parents teach the kids that, and you know, I've said this to my boys too, when asked for a dance, you know, the polite thing to do would be to say, sure. Even if it's somebody you're not crazy about, so what? You know, but I don't force them to do it. I haven't made a rule in my home that says that you'll forfeit the rest of the year and you'll be on restriction if you don't say yes. I make it their choice. But have we had talks like that? Sure we have. Sure we have. Are you kidding? And my boys were glad to attend dances. I mean, it's just not been a big deal. But this is above and beyond. And this is when the schools try to decide how to conduct these types of lessons by force and then calling it kindness. There isn't anything kind going on in that administration that says that that's okay. A lot of times when possibly a boy is rejected a few times by a girl, maybe he'll make some great changes that maybe the next time he wouldn't be rejected. How are you ever going to get to that point as a little boy if you don't have that lesson, right? And it's sad and it's hard. And we all know that as parents, we go through kids and their heartbreaks, okay? Because that's high school. It's high school and middle school. That's what you're going to have. But when we start making rules like this in the school districts, this inclusiveness crap, this yearning to coddle to the point where nobody ever has to feel anything bad, you've got to wonder what's in people's heads that says to them that somewhere, somehow, this is okay. And let's just rip all of the joy out of the dance, too, because I remember as a young girl, you wanted that one boy to ask you. And man, when they did, you knew that it was because they wanted to. You went out on that dance floor and it was the best moment, wasn't it? They're going to rob kids of that too. Because now it is a forced, you have to dance with the person that asks you. You're not allowed to do anything else. And to me, that robs us of not only the pitfall of being rejected, which we all need to go through. It's a life lesson and all of us have been rejected in our life. Or the joy of having that one moment that you kind of long for as a kid and get that several times over possibly. But what a great lesson that is for those that even are rejected to use that to grow. We're just going to rip all those life lessons out and say that we're going to make sure that you don't have any of those as a kid, as a middle schooler. We all know how hard middle school is, but isn't this just making it now more difficult? Because they're never going through that process. They're being denied the entire process of being a middle schooler. Middle school sucks. It's terrible. And guess what? We all have that middle school experience that we all bond with because all of us were teased in middle school. It's great. Anyway, I'll be right back on the national show and we've got a lot to discuss. Melissa will be joining me and then we'll finish up in that last hour with lots of good stuff. So make sure you listen in. It's going to be good. Be right back.
The great advertising debate continues with advertising expert Christine Johnson and Dr. Nelson C. Armadingo, author of Advertising is a Six-Letter Word. We'll begin with you, Doctor.
Studies by my foundation, For the Birds, has demonstrated there's a technique far more effective than printed broadcast.
And that would be?
Carrier pigeons, six of them especially trained for the task.
How do they?
An advertising message is wrapped to the pigeon's leg and the bird flies and flies and flies and flies.
Yeah, all right, I get the idea, Doctor.
2 millions of target consumers. Then, when it arrives, the leg is gently lifted up, the pigeons, not the consumers, and the message is read instantly.
And you think six carrier pigeons is more effective than print and broadcast?
You don't like birds, do you?
How do they know who the target consumers are?
They're given a photo.
Well, wouldn't the pigeons be exhausted?
Never. Flying is second nature to pigeons, and they're well paid for the work.
How much are they paid?
$10,000 an hour.
What?
I occasionally join them on a flight when one gets sick or, you know, has to attend a funeral or visit a mother or something like that.
You were trained to fly.
Oh, that's cinchy. It's only when they lift my leg to get the message I laugh myself silly.
We'll have to continue this debate next time. Brought to you by the Radio Advertising Bureau, this radio station, and the famous Radio Ranch.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 98.5 FM Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS HD4 Leeds.